Welcome back to Running for Beginners podcast, the show designed to help everyday runners build a sustainable, healthy relationship with running and with themselves. Today's episode is a really special one because we're diving deep into mental health, relationships, and the role that running and movement can play through the lens of a licensed therapist. Today, I'm joined by Jennifer Perella, a licensed professional counselor with over 30 years of clinical experience. Jennifer specializes in relationship counseling, trauma, anxiety, communication, and image therapy, and she also happens to be a marathoner and an ultramarathon runner. She's the founder of Decoding Relationships, an online counseling practice serving individuals, couples, and families across Virginia, North Carolina, Maryland, and Washington, D.C. In this conversation, we'll explore the mental health benefits of running, how movement can support emotional regulation and relationships, where running helps and where therapy is still essential, and how runners can better understand themselves and their partners through movement and communication. This is a grounded, professional, and honest conversation I know will resonate deeply. So let's get into it. There we go. Hi, nice to see you finally, Jennifer. Appreciate you sitting down with me today. It's going to be like I said earlier in our little pre-conference, I'm excited to speak to a therapist and a runner to hear about the connection between the two things. So thank you very much again for joining me. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here to talk about two things I love, which is running and mental health and how they merge well. So thank you so much.
All right. Well, let's get into it. So my first question is, from your perspective as a licensed therapist, what role does movement, specifically running, if you can use that, play into mental health?
Well, specifically running or even getting outside and doing athletic sports, it's really good for your brain. And, you know, it gives you clarity. It gets rid of some of the extra cortisol and adrenaline that's in your body. So running particularly will help you with your mood, help you regulate your emotions. It also gives us confidence, and self-esteem is a really big component of mental health. So how we're feeling about ourselves, our security in ourselves, our insecurities, those are actually buoyed by running. And so we can start to work through some of that as we run, and we are able to do things that we didn't think we could do. But physiologically, the getting rid of cortisol, which is the stress hormone that our brain releases, whether we're anxious or we're upset or something is intense, getting rid of that really helps all the organs in our body, but particularly our anxiety and weightiness, sadness, all of that. The more we can get rid of the cortisol, the stress hormone, the lighter we'll feel. So it helps kind of all the way around to get out there. I love running. I love that running long particularly allows you time and space to get that out. And also your mood starts to lighten over time and things take a easier perspective the longer you're out there, which is why I love ultra running.
Okay, very nice. So how does running impact the nervous system, especially for people dealing with like anxiety or chronic stress?
So when you increase heart rate, when you're not running, is also associated with panic attacks or being very upset, fear. So increased heart rate a lot of times will make us feel like we're in danger, that we're scared or that something is wrong with us. But what we learn from running is it actually can be associated with something positive. So you learn to be comfortable with increased heart rate being a part of your physiology and a thing that actually implies that we're doing well. So when we're running long and our heart starts to stabilize when it initially was pounding hard, we start to feel like we have more control over our heart rate, our blood pressure, all of those things. So a lot of times we feel like that is out of our control, but running long, running in particular, allows us to feel like we have more agency over what our heart does, what our blood pressure does, what our nervous system is doing in response to stress.
Gotcha. I think I feel that sometimes on my long runs where I can calm down and recognize that. I didn't know what it was, but now I do. So many runners say running is their therapy. And not to make light of what you do as a professional, but as a professional, where do you see that being helpful? And where can it be misleading, especially for people that are, I would think, it's kind of a follow-up, but where they're using running as a substitute for sitting down with a therapist?
Yeah, I think that there's some important distinctions there in that I sometimes joke that running is my therapy because I do think it has so many benefits. And I do think it also helps us see that all emotions are temporary, situations are temporary. If we we work through something long enough and exert some energy, then we will get to a better place. I love running for the therapy it provides. I also think that, you know, ultra running particularly, you end up being on your own. So especially me, I'm like the back of the packer. So I really end up being on my own. But the being on your own is really good for us. It's good for us to figure out how to like ourselves and work through things and let our brain have lots of space to meander around and think about things. So that kind of therapy, there's also a great joy that can come, that runner's high, which is absolutely amazing. And that there is nothing that can replace that. So that too creates its own therapy. It's its own, you know, self-medicating that's very natural that our body is doing for us, you know, allowing us to feel those amazing joys of doing something really hard and getting through really hard times. Crying while you're running, also a part of ultra running, probably more for me than even the joy. Even that is really beneficial to the process, to the therapy of working through things and feeling things and being alive and doing hard things. That being said, there's a lot in therapy that we probably won't be able to do all of when we run. So if we have, I'm a trauma therapist as well as specifically a relationship therapist, marriage and family therapy. And there are a lot of relationship issues that in order to work through them, we need to talk. We need to talk a lot of times to the relationship partner that we're having issues with. But if we're not quite sure how to do that, or we don't know where we stand, or we're really confused about things that are happening, no amount of running and emoting and feeling better about ourselves is necessarily going to clear that up. So it does help to go see a specialist in the area that you're hurting or that you're confused that can help clear things up for you, work things out for you, you know, talk about measuring what's appropriate, what's not appropriate, what's healthy, what's unhealthy, that's okay, that's not okay. Sometimes we don't naturally know those things. And so I do think no matter what the specialist is, that we all don't know everything about everything. So sometimes it is really beneficial to go see a counselor to help us figure those things out. There's also times there's just stuff we need to unpack and say out loud to somebody that is going to make it safe and not judge us and not try to make it better or change the story. Most humans, especially the relationships in our lives, they also have their own lives and their own self-worth and their own concerns and worries. So sometimes competing agendas can interfere with us talking about and unpacking things. So sometimes unpacking things with a third person who's not connected, who is also specializes in mental health and wellness, is going to help you get that stuff out, talk about it, understand it, figure out ways to move forward, give you tools for when things get really hard, give you tools for your relationship and how to have a hard conversation, what to do differently, what is unhealthy and healthy.
Hi, everybody. It's your host. Let me tell you about a race that's near and dear to my heart, the Hawkeye. This year, we're celebrating 50 years of the Hawkeye. Run for the golden ticket. The Hawkeye Marathon will celebrate their 50th running on April 11th, 2026. The Golden Hawkeye will take off on Saturday at 7 a.m. from downtown Springdale, Arkansas, along with a four-person marathon relay and a half marathon. 2026 will be golden indeed as plans are underway to make it a special year as runners finish and receive the golden ticket medal. In addition to coveted finisher's medal, marathon runners will receive a special 50th year's finisher jacket. And yes, there may be a few Wonka and Oompa Loompa characters on the course to help get runners to the finish line magic. The Hawkeye features 26.2 miles of beautiful rolling course, mostly streets with some paved trail sections. Participants will run by city parks and through the minor league baseball park before finishing on the Razorback Greenway in downtown Springdale, Arkansas. Come out to join everyone for miles of pure imagination on April 11th. Stay for the Sunday Fun Day 5K 10K on April 12th if you like the idea of the double dare. Receiving three medals. Hope to see you there. That's really good to know. So what are some signs that running alone is no longer enough and that someone might benefit from the professional mental health support? What signs would you people see?
Right. Yeah. I think some of your daily living concerns. So if you're still having trouble sleeping, if you're up all night thinking about things, if your sadness is extreme, so if you're having depression or sadness that's extreme, where you start to have thoughts of hurting yourself or leaving this world, if your anxiety is panic producing, where you start to breathe really hard and your heart pounds and you don't put yourself in certain situations because you're afraid you're going to have panic and not be able to communicate well and participate, a lot of times those things do need more specific help than running. Now, running is a treatment that can be offered for all of those things. So as a therapist who loves running, clients open to that. Sometimes I will say, please take yourself for a walk when you start to feel that. A lot of times we talk about panic attacks of just going outside, removing yourself from the environment, getting fresh air, but walking or jogging or running is going to help change your chemistry inside of your body. And your brain can't move in a lot of different directions at once. So the brain really wants to, when we just sit and think about difficult things, it will stay and it will give all the blood and energy to our brain on that. But when we go outside or when we run, it has other things to pay attention to and it will help with those things. So there is a balance. It doesn't mean that running can't be a treatment of therapy, but there's also pieces where if your depression is extreme, where there are thoughts that you're having that could be dangerous, if your anxiety is not going away, your anxiety, your panic, your sleep issues are not going away by running, if your relationship issues aren't improving just because you're getting fit, taking care of yourself, removing yourself, relieving your stress by running, but you still come back and they're still there and there's still struggles on how to figure those out, that's probably time to bring in a professional just to add those tweaks.
Okay. Okay. So in your work with couples, how does stress or anxiety or emotional regulation or the lack of those things, how do they commonly show up in a relationship?
They can show up in a lot of ways. In couples, there will be arguing, there will be hurt feelings, there will be disconnection. In the individual within a relationship, we might see more irritability, blame. There might be difficulty regulating emotion and outsized responses to situations, high reactivity. So something, an outsized response, something that wouldn't normally require yelling or meet yelling or withdrawal or extreme hurt over a situation, things like that.
That sounds like me sometimes, unfortunately.
All of us. There are no perfect mental health.
It's a weird thing to feel like you're okay to be part of that group. No one ever wants to be the only one, but that's right.
I'm presently working on a book on relationship communication and relationship communication health. But throughout the book, I'm always weaving in, you know, I do this too. There are no perfect humans. There are no perfect relationships. Even after doing this for 20 years and now writing these book with these tools, I still make all of these mistakes myself. And so it's just about awareness, acknowledgement, apologizing, and doing better. That's really what it comes down to, because we're not robots. We're not machines. We're not going to do it well. We're not AI. We're not going to do it perfectly all the time. We're going to make mistakes because we have emotions. And thank goodness we have emotions, because they make us really connectable and likable, but they also make us imperfect. So we just have to expect that we're always trying to do it better.
Great. Well, when that book, I don't know how close or how far away you are from completing it, but when it gets done, by all means, please email me the link to the book. I'd love to get it. I'd love to put it on the podcast as a connection, but just for me personally. So as a side note, when it's done, make sure you email me with that link.
Yeah. Hopefully soon.
So can running help people show up in their better in their relationships? And if so, how? I think does for me. My wife and I both run, and when the weather's decent, we run together outside. But a lot of times we're just in the gym on a treadmill, so we don't, you know, we're separated like from that aspect. But I'm curious if that helps other people, or if helps people in general show up in their relationships, you know, to be connected, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, especially if you're running with a partner. It's wonderful because that's a connection point. Doing a physical activity, which is always really good for relationships to do physical activities together. Again, running regulates mood, regulates emotion. It brings confidence. The partnership can grow as they do this thing together. A lot of times even we can have hard conversations when we are outside walking or running. Obviously you have to run in a conversational speed, sure. But you know, even people that end up in running groups, I remember in running groups, having incredibly deep conversations with my running partners. When you run long with a partner and you're trying to get your hours in for training, it kind of goes everywhere. So it really does create this depth, this emotional depth that you can share when you're running. And I like to say it's a lot easier to do that when we're not staring across a table into somebody's eyes. It's a lot easier when you're running side by side, doing a physical activity, not looking in each other's eyes, and we can be more vulnerable. We can share more vulnerably. We can take responsibility for difficult things easier when we're not staring in each other's eyes. So it really does offer a nice connection tool for couples. But even for individuals who they themselves run, but maybe their partner doesn't, it's a release of stress. It's a release of cortisol. It's a measuring of emotions. It gives you alone time, you know, time and space to kind of work through your own issues. A lot of times I'll hear people come back and say, I thought about this thing that I did yesterday while I was running and I wanted to come back and acknowledge that and let you know, I shouldn't have said it that way, or I wish I had done this differently. So it gives clarity to run. So I think with regard to relationships, there's a lot of benefits to having one person run and especially both members running because of the depth it brings, and clarity it brings.
Yeah, that's very good. So do you ever see running or exercise used as an avoidance tool instead of a coping tool? And how can runners recognize their own patterns?
Right. You know, it's kind of that there are sometimes we need to talk about things. We do, depending if you're not running connected with a partner who you are talking about it with. If you're running alone, maybe you're talking out loud, which I believe in. I tell people all the time, go get in your car, go for a drive and talk it out, like out loud. I have not checked on this research, but I do know a therapist who says that intelligence is higher in people who talk to themselves. So I'm not going to claim that I know what that research is, but I think it's a great quote. But if you're not talking it out by yourself out loud, then you do need to talk about some things. There are some things where we just shouldn't keep shoving it down in our head, in our minds, in our hearts. And running is fantastic for our bodies. It's fantastic for a lot of these things, confidence and understanding and clarity and emotional regulation. But there are some things we just need to talk about that running isn't going to do it. It's in personal traumas, relationship issues, we usually have to go talk about those.
Okay. So
running also can interfere with being present. So it can also interfere with being present. So we do want to make sure that we're not blending everything so that we use running for all things and we're running out the door every time something gets hard. So being present is the counterpoint, the healthy counterpoint to being out and running. We don't want to run away from things. We do want to be present when we need to deal with things. We have to be careful.
Okay. Thanks for the clarification. Hi, everybody. It's your host, Mike. As runners, we spend a lot of time thinking about strength, building it, testing it, finding it when things get hard. As a dad of three grown kids, I know how lucky I am that our toughest moments were things like scraped knees or late night fevers. We never needed the kind of strength that comes from hearing your child is seriously ill, but countless families do. And that's where St. Jude Children's Research Hospital steps in. St. Jude gives parents something no training plan can prepare you for, hope. They take away the financial burden. No family ever receives a bill for treatment, travel, housing, or food. So parents can focus on helping their child live, regardless of the duration or the cost of care. They surround families with care, support, and world-class treatment at a time when fear and uncertainty feel overwhelming. As runners, we know what it means to show up for people, to carry someone when the miles get tough. Supporting St. Jude is one of the most meaningful ways we can do that. If you're able, I invite you to join me in helping the families who need that strength today. Donate at http://heroes.stjude.org/runningforbeginners. That's heroes.stjude.org/runningforbeginners. Thank you. As both a therapist and an endurance athlete, which I don't think we talked about this in the recording, but you did triathlons, which I'm thoroughly impressed with. I've always wanted to do something like that, but I don't think I have the endurance for that. But anyway, so what parallels do you see between healthy training and healthy relationships?
That's a good question. I think that healthy relationships as well as healthy training address hurts. We don't ignore them or things get worse. It's the same for running injuries or hurting as well as it in relationships. I also think that you have to show up for things to get better. It's like you have to run for things to get better. You know, it is you know, how do you, a lot of things are, how do you improve this? Show up for that thing, have the conversation, be present, go for the run, figure it out while you're out there. So a lot of quantity, quality, presence, emotional presence. So when we run, a lot of times it's so tempting because I love audiobooks and podcasts like yours. And so, you know, throwing those in is so nice, but it also interferes with my ability, one, to bring somebody along and talk to them and improve relationships, or two, to allow my brain to have that quiet, to have it work through the things it needs to work through. So we do also want to allow some depth in both of those, to allow emotion to come in to both of our relationships. We can, in our personal relationships, we can avoid having deep conversations by always talking about logistics, by always having Netflix up, by being very busy, by being very social. And then we never really work on the emotional depth and the connection in our relationship, and potentially maybe have hard conversations if they're needed. And I think running is similar in that we do have to pay attention. We have to be listening to our bodies, and we have to allow the process to also be something that we're taking in versus just staying numb the whole time.
I don't know if I told you this before in our previous emails or your correspondence, but I just became an ambassador for a nonprofit organization for mental health called Still I Run, something that I really stand by and support. So it's pretty cool nonprofit organization in the Midwest. I think it's in Minnesota. But there, I would assume, just educated assumption, that there are a lot of people dealing with mental stress and mental health issues, and they're hesitant to seek therapy. The stigma behind it, maybe, whatever the reason is. So what advice would you give a runner who's struggling mentally, but, you know, hesitant to seek therapy?
Right. You know, therapists are just like everybody else in every other field, in that you might find a dentist that you really like, but you also probably have a story of a dentist you really didn't like that wasn't a good match. And therapists are the same way. You want just somebody you match with well, somebody that's really easy to talk to. Somebody that supports the running lifestyle and believes in what you do and wants that for you. Therapists shouldn't come across as professors or judges of what you're doing, advice givers. They should not shame their clients. There certainly are, I'm sure, those that do. And if you happen to find yourself in one of those, then bow out and find a new one. That you should feel really comfortable being able to talk about whatever you need to talk about with your counselor. They should make you feel comfortable in the room. You should like them. We also know that likability is a key component in therapists being successful, is how likable and comfortable clients are with them. I would say don't presume that you have to do this one counselor, and if it doesn't work, then something's wrong with you. It might just be not a good match. I would start by really looking at counselors, reading their profiles, seeing their focus. But you can also, most counselors have a free 15-minute consult where you can just kind of see if you link well. I know that the client that I talked to that really was excited to talk to me about running, that's such a fun match because that match we both had. So it really makes our conversations very easy to talk. And I have quite a few clients who are runners and some that do ultra running. And those conversations have been so fun, but it also allows everything else to flow a little easier because we see life just a little more similar because of that. If the thought of talking to a counselor is still really scary, start by listening to counselor videos. They're kind of all over the internet right now. Listening to podcast counselors. A lot of counselors have podcasts. I have a podcast. So if there's topics that you like, look up counselors that are doing that and listen to that, because I think it will warm you to understanding what the process is, because it shouldn't be scary. It should be a place where you feel so at home and you can't wait to talk to that person.
Okay. That's great. I'm proud to announce that I've become an ambassador for StillIRun.org. StillIRun is a global nonprofit organization that promotes running for mental well-being so that people can live a healthier lives. Running for your mental health isn't about pace or performance. It's about feeling a little more grounded than you did yesterday.
Their Mental Health Runner program from Still I Run is a free, self-guided, 12-week program designed to help people use running as a tool for mental well-being. This program provides free running shoes, a Still I Run tech tee, and a guided workbook with training plans, reflections, and education that meets you where you are. If you're ready to take that first step, apply today at stillirun.org/MHRP. Applications are reviewed monthly.
So if you could leave runners with one message about mental health, relationships, and self-awareness, what would it be?
Go back to that there are no perfect people. There are no perfect runners. There are no perfect relationships. There's no perfect mental health. All of it's a work in progress, especially as a runner myself, and knowing the ebbs and flows of when I had my favorite race, when I had the race that has all the funny stories, but then, you know, the races that just bring tears. Life kind of is up and down, and there are no perfect runners. All runners have stories about tough races, hard races, when they did fantastic. And life and mental health is the same way for all humans. Not, you know, you don't, just because somebody has a diagnosis, whether it be depression or anxiety or something greater, doesn't mean they're not just like everybody else, because we all are working on our mental health all the time. And there's also no perfect relationships. There might be something that looked that way from the outside, but chances are they're looking that way from the outside because there's some tough stuff on the inside. So we don't show everybody our broken parts, but we all have them. And so just being aware that that's normal, that's part of the human condition, makes it easier to go through this process and not be so hard ourselves.
Okay. So like, I like to finish most of the episodes with the final question I want to know if there's anything that we're talking about today that I should have asked you, but I didn't, because of the connection between therapy and running. Is there something that I should have asked you that I didn't, that you'd like to get across to people?
Oh, is there something that you should have asked me that you didn't?
Yeah, yeah. What am I missing that you know, I should have asked you?
Well, yeah, I don't know that there's something flowing through my mind that I think, like, I have got to say that thing. I would just be kind to yourself. Be really kind to yourself. I think as runners, sometimes we can be perfectionists. We want to just see the hill to get higher and higher. And as humans in our relationships and with our mental health, we think we're supposed to improve over time, but life has seasons and our bodies are changing and our relationships are changing and our environments are changing. So we are going to change, and improvement isn't always going to be a linear line. So just be kind to yourself in all of these avenues, because it's regular. That's part of life.
I like leaving on that note. Be kind to yourself. That's a good one. That's a good one. Well, that's all I have. Thank you very much for sitting down with me. I really appreciate it. I want to thank Jennifer so much for sharing her experience today and her perspective. This conversation really highlights how powerful movement can be, but also how important it is to understand where professional support fits into the picture. For listeners, I'll make sure to include links to Jennifer's practice, Decoding Relationships, in the show notes, along with mental health resources and information about the nonprofit Still I Run organization, a community dedicated to breaking the stigma around mental health through running, where I'm proud to be an ambassador. If this episode resonated with you, please share it with a friend, leave a review, and remember, you don't have to run through life's challenges alone. Thanks for listening, and let's run forward together. I hope you hit the like button, follow the podcast, and share with your social media contacts. You never know who in your circle has wanted to run, but for whatever reason was too shy or fearful to undertake the challenge. I hope to point out the inclusiveness of running and give information that is accessible and relatable from a relatively new runner's perspective. Don't forget, you're responsible for your own health. Please talk to your doctor if necessary before starting any new physical activity. And nothing said on this podcast by myself or the guests should be construed as medical advice. Any products advertised on the show and purchased using the code RUNWITHMIKE will earn me a commission. This podcast was created, written, produced, edited by myself, Mike Fleming. Show music is Everyday to Play by Ethos.